This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, I look at this game, 136 Atlanta to Oklahoma City, 118. I have to say, like, this is a bad loss, but it could have been way worse, way worse. Trae Young went off for 41 points in three quarters. That was pretty impressive. But his counterpart, you know, which was his teammate in high school, Lindy Waters, went off for 25 points. So, again, there's, you know, always something brighter on the brighter side, I guess we could look at, but... Man, this was an ass whooping that kind of stung, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, it was over so quickly that it was just kind of like, you know, let's just see like how these guys are improving. And I was impressed with the team overall, just continuing to move the ball and refusing to play like we were down 30, which we were a lot of the game. And it made it so we had a chance to cut it to single digits at one point in the game in the fourth quarter. It wasn't going to be a game. We all realized that because Trae Young didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. But we continued to push hard, and that was cool. It was fun to watch Trae, and like you said, Lindy Waters and him were high school teammates. They have had such different journeys to the NBA. And, you know, this is Lindy's rookie year. This is Trae's fourth year. Lindy was an older player than him at school, so it really creates a interesting dynamic. But I'll tell you what, like, one thing about Lindy Waters is I've got a son and he's under 1 year old, but if I'm going to teach him how to shoot, I'm going to show him Lindy Waters form, because it's a thing of beauty. It's a really awesome to watch him go out there and play at such a high level. And 25 points, 7 of 13 from downtown, career high for him. Great job by Lindy Waters, and just great storylines, like you mentioned, all the way back to Trae Young. Great game.
Yeah, and they weren't the only ex-teammates to play. You also saw DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome did not play, but they played together in Virginia, won a championship there together. So this is just unique how Oklahoma City and Atlanta is kind of situated with the teammates that we've had. Also, you know, Atlanta has a bunch of players that are not a bunch, but a couple of players that have played for us through the years or played against us in the West. So it's a very interesting dynamics with that Atlanta team. I dig it. I'm always up for an East team, and, you know, getting beat by 18, yes, it stings, but there's worse things that could happen. And the reality is that that first quarter was the difference in the game, you know. And if you look at that 42-24 score in that first quarter, that is the complete difference in the game. We were able to fight back and stay close completely in the rest of the quarters, but that first quarter kind of held us to a point that we could not climb back from.
Yeah, it did. And with six games left, we've got eight players, which means in practice, we can't even go 5-on-5 in a scrimmage. So we're in an interesting spot. Like we mentioned before, it's great to have JRE back, and he's getting more minutes. And we're getting to see kind of like what the end of our bench and what our two-way contracts are looking like, and we get to see how hard the organization is working all the way down. But for you, Dave, what really stands out to you about the guys we saw? Like, the guy, like, the least points scored by anybody on the roster last game was 9 points. So everybody's out there producing, everybody's getting lots of minutes. But like, what's standing out to you as far as a developmental element of this team right now?
Yeah. You know, that's a really great question. And to me, I look at this team, and there's so many guys that I see that are fighting for a position for next year. They want to be on this team, like Lindy Waters, Olivia Saar, Krejci, Maladon. These guys right here are the question marks of whether or not they're going to be able to make the team next year. But man, they are playing so well. Their desire to be on this team and desire to compete on this team is something that I'm really taking back with me, because right there, we're talking about what we would consider the the bottom third of our NBA team. If we break up the team into a third, each section, we're looking at Maledon, Krejci, Waters, and Livyasar as those big question marks. So I'm impressed with how their intensity, the desire to want to play, and how it's been rubbing off to, of course, Wiggins and Poku and Isaiah Roby, and the rest of the guys are getting minutes right now. It's contagious, and it's fun to see. I'm excited to see Trey Mann get thrown into this mix to be able to play with these guys and the intensity level that Trey Mann can bring. But, man, right now I'm excited about that true desire of being able to play every single second you can possibly play. JRE is on minute restrictions. We saw him play last game 15 and this game 16 minutes. He's not going to get much more than that. Maybe he'll break 20 before the season's over. Highly doubt it. But the reality is that we've got seven strong right now. And seeing Lindy Waters and Livyasar step up for 25 and Livyasar for 17 points, man, this is exactly what we need from these young players to say, you know what, this young team has an opportunity. Because we're not talking about a chump team here in Atlanta. We're talking about a team, yes, they're fighting for that playoff position, but last year there was a phenomenal team. So they've got the scoring, they've got the, you know, everything they need. But let's just put it out there. Trae Young, 29 minutes, 41 points. It's going to be hard to beat a team when a player like that just goes off.
Yeah, but if you're looking for some positives, let's talk about from like Poku. He shot 4 of 8 from downtown. It's always a mixed bag with Poku, but that's 50%. Overall, though, he only hit his 3-point shots, and he went 4 of 11 overall. But that 4 of 8 from downtown is actually a really good sign, and that's something that we can look at really positively. JRE went 2 of 3 from downtown. So those are really good signs from both of those players. And you already mentioned Sar had a good game. He went 6 of 9 overall, 1 of 3 from downtown. So a career high 17 points for Sar. He kicked in 9 rebounds. So a good game for him. Overall, productive game from people who are playing. But, like, look, the Hawks right now are in a position to go to the play-in game. They're fighting really hard to, you know, hang on to that position, maybe move up to the 9 seed. And we're obviously trying to figure out how to compete for 4 quarters, and if we can find a way to win, that's a bonus, but we're not really even thinking about wins right now. This team is just trying to figure out how to hold their head above water. 7 players in an NBA game, and like that's, I mean, like you said, we have JRE, but he's on minute restrictions, and it really, as the game goes on, we cut that bench down. It's down to 7 players, and that's really difficult. And the 2 guys coming off of the bench are 2-way contracts, and that's really been impressive what they've been able to bring. Those 2 were 2 of our 3 leading scorers. And for Teo Maledon, he had previous to this last game, 3 games in a row where he scored 20 or more points. And then this one, he scored 18. So we're seeing progression from the young guys, and that's where we want to see it. And Roby, he picked up 5 offensive rebounds. And so he had 9 rebounds and 14 points. Just a really outstanding game from him. But in the end, we were just fighting for honor after that first quarter. And I felt like we did a good job with that.
Let me ask you a question. The 8 players that we watch play and that we've seen play in the last few days, you know, add Trey Mann in there, in and out of there, whatever you want to call it. Is there a player in particular that you circle and say that this young man, this player, is a pivotal player that we need to have in the next 5 years? Is there any of these guys that you see, the 8 guys that you would circle and saying, this guy is a must have as we continue to develop?
Damn, that's a good question. And I'm such a homer. I look down the roster and I'm like, you know, there's a number of guys that I feel like, depending on the opponent, depending on, you know, the type of situation, I feel like they could play really pivotal roles for us. But the one that I'd say that maybe kind of might catch you by surprise, but I really like Vit Krejci. I feel like his game can play with other guards and forwards very simply. And because of the way he moves without the ball, I have a feeling that he'll be able to play with the starting unit and make the other guys look better and look really good himself. But that's just a personal thing. I mean, it's really hard for me to pick any of the guys that I don't feel like, you know, we'll be better for having, at least within the organization, as, you know, the next year goes forward. But what do you think, Dave?
Yeah, and that's something that I've circled on question wise as something that I truly wonder. I look at Isaiah Roby as being that power forward center, allowing us to draft another guard. Another guard in the draft, but looking at Poku or Isaiah Roby, looking at Poku, looking at JRE, and possibly even Olivia Saar. I look at these big men as being pivotal players that we need to have develop. If there is one of these players that I feel like that needs to develop in their style that needs to develop that would fit so perfectly with the way and the style that we're pushing towards, would be Poku, man. Poku, the way that he passes the ball, the way he sees the floor, his size, the way that he understands the game. To me, if I was going to put $10 million into a development of a player, I would be putting it into $9.5 million into Poku and splitting the other $500,000 between the other guys. And the reason is because if you look at the NBA and the style that it's changing to, and the style that it could change to, not necessarily though that it will change to, but it could change to, I look at Poku as being that vocal point, that centerpiece that could make this team into a championship team rather than just a contender. So again, I look at Poku as being that building block of these eight guys that we watched play the last few games. That's Isaiah Roby, Poku, Maladon, Aaron Wiggins, Krejci, JRE, Waters, and Saar. But these are our young players on our team. You know, Poku is the youngest player of this group. Maladon's the second youngest player, and the rest are rookies. And that's something that's really impressive to look at. I mean, I'm sorry, Isaiah Roby is one of the older players at 24, but he's one of the older players on our team, period. So again, it's just impressive to see how this team has reacted and been able to play and withstand so much pressure and craziness. Yeah, we've given up a lot of points here and there, but that's kind of what it's expected of us. We've held teams to under 40% multiple times throughout the year. I think, 46, 47 times in a row on a stretch. So we know how to play defense. We know that our young players can play, but watching the development of the players, in my opinion, is crucial to see Poku develop into that, you know, incredibly strong power forward or incredibly strong center. I think that's something that would bring this team together. The passing abilities, like last night or the other night, he had 8 assists, man. Maladon had 8 assists. Okay, like this is he's a post player, like playing out on the wing, guarding or causing the post players to come out and guard him, and then passing the ball like he's a point guard. I mean, this is impressive. I know there's a lot of people that don't like Poku and they're very difficult on him. But, bro, what he's doing right now and the last two games is he's had 19 assists in the last two games. Like, for a 7-foot guy, that's unheard of, man.
Yeah, and it's been really fun to watch because, like, the way he does it and the more the ball is in his hands, he's so creative. He's finding cutters. He's, you know, getting the ball up front. He's leading with a pass. And it's just been really fun to watch him progress and see how the season has gone for him. And I look down this list and I'm like, man, there's so many guys on this team right now that
we both mentioned guards. What about a post player? Is there a post guy that you're looking at that you're saying that can really develop into that center role?
Oh,
with these three guys,
JRE.
Yeah.
He's been playing that role when he was healthy anyway.
What about Roby? The way that we've watched him play these other centers that have kept him off their toes, you know, like, I mean, he has. Like made chop, like just these guys look horrible out there, you know, like,
yeah.
And he's played against great centers. Is that something that he can do all season? Or do you think that because he has to play against these centers all season, that's going to take a toll on his body? And that ultimately means less time for him because of injuries.
I think he can do it. I wonder if he really brings the same thing as JRE though. And that's where I kind of wonder with Roby. Like, I think he could be a terrific second unit like center, and he can shift into the starting center anytime you need, because we've proven throughout the season that we need people who are ready to step up. And I just think, you know, this takes me back to earlier in the season. You were like, JRE has flat out outplayed everybody else in that position. Derek Favors, Isaiah Roby, J.R. Reed just came out and played on fire. He does the right thing for the team at the right moment. He keeps the ball moving. He, you know, knocks down the three. He creates the offensive rebound. And it's really fun to watch him play and getting him back out there. You know, you quickly forget, but he's obviously been improving even though he's been sitting out. And this guy is someone that I look at and I say, like, there's a 50-50 chance, maybe a better than 50-50 chance that he starts next season at our center.
I would say there's a high 60, even 70% chance that he's, unless we go out and particularly draft a center or a power forward, JRE is our starting center power forward
next right. year. And then our bench unit will be Roby and Baisley center power forward combo. And I'm like, that's unbelievable. You know, where does some of these other guys fit in? Like Krejci, Wiggins, Maladon, are they going to be first unit for that second team? Are they going to be, you know, 12th and 13th on the rotation and find themselves stepping into spots whenever there are injuries? I don't know. I just know that right now what we're watching is, like, the depth. Like, we're watching this team, like, create all kinds of, like, opportunities. And I know there are a lot of people who are kind of, like, waiting for that one pick or that one player that changes the organization. And the fact is, like, what we're watching is the organization from the ground up. And it's really different than what I think a lot of people have anticipated. And I get that it's not as sexy, but, you know, if you can develop second-round picks, if you can develop late first-round picks into being these role players that can help lead your organization, then you have depth that we've never experienced. I mean, there were so many teams that we just lacked, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, like really, really sustainable role players in those positions who had, you know, complementary skill sets, who could defend at a high level and then also shoot on the perimeter at a high level. And we've always had issues with our bench. And so that's why, for me, yeah, at some point, somebody's going to come in and, you know, like SGA or Giddey and get all the credit for the wins. But what we're seeing is this is the important foundation for that to take place.
And you're absolutely right there. And my next question for you is regarding Shai Waters-Amman. As far as shooting guards go, you know, we look at Shai Waters-Amman as being our 1, 2, and 3, you know, whoever's playing better, it doesn't matter. But do you feel like we are going to be out there looking for another shooting guard? I look at our point guard position and I say, you know what, we could always use another point guard that's, you know, star quality, obviously the way that we're building. But do you feel like our two guard slash shooting guard slash small forward or whatever, you know, just our pure shooting mindset, do you feel like we're set with Shai Waters-Amman right now? Or do you feel like we need to go out and get another player?
I'm pretty happy with those guys. I don't feel any need to get another player. I think if I were looking at it and I would say, like, what would be the perfect type of player for this team, it would be like another guy like Poku that doesn't really fit in any traditional mold, and you can play him at a guard position, you can play him at a forward position, you might experiment with him at a center and even a point guard. And I feel like if you can find someone that they'll kind of like fit in and they'll find a way to play him at different positions, that's going to be more important than say, like, okay, we now have our second shooting guard on the depth chart, because I feel like we already have 1, 2, and maybe even 3 with Waters. Like, yeah, he's still on a 10-day contract.
Well,
and he plays, I mean.
Yeah, he plays forward position, but I feel like they've been playing him shooting guard and allowing that mismatch, kind of like Klay Thompson at that 6'6 shooting guard position. I like that. That creates a mismatch. To me, that's something to worth circling and to watch in depth to see what happens there.
Absolutely. And, you go down, I think, like you're saying, we're watching, you know, our third string shooting guard are potentially, you know, first and second string centers. Like, it's not happening altogether, but we're starting to see. And like Aaron Wiggins, interestingly, you know, I think he's got a starter potential, but he's actually going to be like one of those guys that comes off the bench that makes like a team like the Miami Heat really jealous, right?
Yeah.
They want guys that can knock down the three, swing the ball.
Do you think Waters could be like that hero type player that he comes off the bench, creates that sexy appeal of you got to guard him, otherwise he's going to shoot for, you know, 25, 30 points?
Dude, I mean, yeah, in a way. I think he's got the mechanics to make teams like feel like
he plays hard defense. You know, he's not a chump on defense, you know, though?
Yeah, I just think he's got to like, he's got to start scaring teams when he pulls up. Like, if he were to pull up from the logo a few times, like, I know that that might be a tough shot for him to make. But if you like, project that level of confidence, then you're going to find some different opportunities. But, yeah,
like, you feel like he was stepping up last night, especially because he was playing against Trey Mann because of his ex-teammate.
How would you feel in that spot?
Well, I noticed him playing defense on Trey. You know, that's something I couldn't help notice.
Dude, I would, if I was playing against my former teammate and we were playing in the NBA, I'd better believe I'd be. Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
balling
man.
Out. Put everything into it. Be like, this is. Like, because you couldn't even dream of this.
You know, Trey's man's helped with the progression of Lindy Waters, regardless of it's making a phone call for him or whatever it is, because I don't think it's a coincidence that these guys, you know, high school teammates and played in the same conference in college. To me, this is exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for connections to other players on the team. Like, I'm not saying that Trae Young is somebody that we want in the future, but wouldn't it be something, though, if Trae Young wants to come back home to be able to help us bring a championship home? And one of the reasons he wants to do that is because we've treated Lindy Waters so well, his ex-teammate. Mm-hmm. Like, seems silly. It seems silly, but it's true, though. Like, these are the type of things that players truly look at as saying, these guys have all said positive things about the Oklahoma City Thunder. I wonder if I deserve or even deserve to have a spot there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. If you look at what's happened with Trae Young at the Hawks, like, they haven't exactly been championship caliber. Although, like they did last year, they could shock some people in the playoffs because that team is a tough out. But, yeah, I mean, I think it would be fascinating if the timing was right, and it would be really fun to have a player like him. But right now, like, look, the Hawks play a really great brand of basketball, and everything runs through Trey, and
so
he's
fast.
Lob or knocking down threes,
so
like,
fast.
And they got shooters like everywhere. They got shooters on the bench. They got shooters everywhere, and it's a fascinating thing, but at the same time, like, I feel like SGA can take us further than Trey can, and maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like you want the ball in Josh Giddey's hand. And, yeah, like, Trey can do those things. But, man, like, some of these high-usage point guards who are, I don't know, like, they're either going to assist on a play or knock down a shot. Like, that's how they go. Like, I've had that for a while. And I'm just like, I want to see, like, what we're seeing, which is a system where the ball moves side to side, where, like, there are opportunities and they're exploiting, you know, another team's weakness. And it's not just about going out there and overpowering teams, or, I mean, not saying that's what Trey does, but, like, it's like Trey will constantly, he's kind of like a James Harden-esque, like, in that, like, he has the ball and they'll run multiple actions, and then in the end he's gonna get the ball against the defender that he wants, and then from there break it down. And I respect the hell out of Nate McMillan and what the Hawks have been able to do, but in the end I like our situation, even though we're not going to the playoffs, and they apparently are. I still prefer our situation.
And I agree. I feel like what we've done to build this team and make it a team that's going to last is key. I'm looking at Wiggins, man, and I'm looking at Trey Mann. That shooting guard position / small forward position is something that I've been highlighting a lot. Whether that means that Shea or Josh play that small forward position, allowing Trey Mann to come in the game. Do you feel like Aaron Wiggins deserves that starting position over Trey Mann, allowing Trey Mann to become a true sixth man? Or do you feel like Trey Mann has proven himself to take that spot away from Aaron Wiggins when they're both healthy?
I think, like, I flipped on this one. I thought it was Trey Mann who was supposed to come off the bench, but I think he outplayed him when he was out there. And Wiggins, you know, he plays really well, but he can play just as well off the bench. So I've kind of shifted, man. I think it's a Trey Mann type situation, and I'm really pumped up about like what he brings to the table. But when he's on, man, and his shot is like he's shooting freely, like watch out. There's not a lot of players in the league, and it's a league full of scorers, but who can score with him? And that to me is really exciting as just a rookie.
Yeah, and I love the way that he plays defense, like the hard nose, the in-your-face. It reminds me of a much more coordinated Dort, which is saying something because, you know, there's more of a fluidness with Aaron Wiggins' game right now. I love it. I think that there's a special aspect to Wiggins. I think that there's something that we need to circle and watch very closely because – you know, this could turn into something, you know, special, or it could turn into something else. We've seen this happen before in the NBA where a rookie has proven that he deserves playing time and then comes back the next year. And then the third year he's out of the game. So his developmental aspect on this year is going to be key. I think if Aaron Wiggins pulls off a spectacular year, just because the age difference, just because the maturity difference, I think Aaron Wiggins could get that fifth starting spot, allowing Trey Mann to come off the bench. And that's not like an insult by any means. Think about this. Isaiah Roby, Poku, Trey Mann, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, Lindy Waters, any of these guys that are a mixture of coming off that bench makes it a really filthy five guys right there. I don't really in the aspect of recognizing what's happening with this team, we go 10 deep, 12 deep sometimes. So matter of who's playing or not, like it doesn't really matter. It comes to playoff time. When we are in playoff time, in the playoff situation, in that fourth quarter, who's playing, who's getting playing time, those are the guys we want to see. And unfortunately, there is only one guy right now that is playing on our team that we saw in the fourth quarter earlier in the year, and that's Aaron Wiggins. All the rest of the guys were not guys that we saw in the fourth quarter. Jeremiah Robinson Earl was replaced by Mike Muscala in that fourth quarter. You saw, Lindy Waters, Olivia Sard, not there. Poku was replaced typically in that fourth quarter after getting some playing time in the third quarter. Maladon, you didn't see. And Isaiah Roby dealt with injuries all year round. So, again, this is impressive of what they're doing. These eight guys, what they're doing and continuing to do through this year. So, I'm impressed. I'm encouraged. We're sitting down that last position of, what, 6-5 games left? Whatever it is.
6, yeah.
Yeah, we got Detroit tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, man. Detroit won their last game, so they win this game, and all of a sudden we're tied. In fact, they win the tiebreaker, so we're sitting in a position that we're in fourth place, fourth place going into, or third place going into that draft. I don't care where we land, I really don't, but I told you before, there's an opportunity for us to win 3 games here, maybe even 4 games. You know, Lakers is a big question mark. Clippers is a big question mark. And then we have Detroit and Blazers. I feel like those 4 games are absolutely winnable games. Throw in their Lakers as well. I mean, like, again, this is going to be fun to see how this team pulls together in the last few games with the 8 guys that we're playing right now. Maybe throw in Trey Mann. Maybe. But, you know, like, who cares? 8-9 guys. I'm willing to go deep with these guys. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we play the Pistons and then the Suns and then the Trailblazers, Jazz, Lakers, and Clippers. So we might
two of those aren't winnable.
Pistons. We might get a win against the Trailblazers. All right. You know, so who cares? Either way, the ping pong balls will probably fuck us over. Like, this is all about the odds. It has nothing to do with actual pick position. And that will be figured out when we go to the lottery, which will be exciting. It'll be fascinating. But right now, you know, we're just watching these young guys figure out their way, and that's the best part. And, man, I'm getting pumped up about thinking about, like, what's going to happen with the draft. But, like, even if we are at the number 3 spot, right, like, we could easily fall out of the top 5 again. So it's just something you got to keep in mind and you keep an eye on. But you don't want to be stuck like some of these people, like, crying about it, like, really feeling like we got screwed because the lottery didn't pick us. Like, that's why it's fucking called a lottery. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
there's no controlling it, and you can improve your odds. But in the end, like, very rarely does the team with the best odds end up with the best pick. So we're giving ourselves a chance, but we're not going to get carried away.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think we have to stay realistic of what this team is, what this team is going. You know, we've talked about this many times. I feel like 40 wins next year is doable. I know there's a lot of people that will disagree with that, but I feel like that's where we're heading. Will 40 wins be enough to make it into the top seven of the team West teams next year? I don't know. But the reality is that where we're headed is great. I was insulted by ESPN's rank of future teams and where they're at, where they're going. They ranked us at 24 out of 30. I felt that it was a slap in the face, but the reality is, to each his own. There's nothing that we can do in Oklahoma City to change the minds of the experts at ESPN. But I can tell you this, is that if we continue to play the style of basketball that we are, next year we'll be in the top 10, and the year after that we'll be number one. That's all we have to continue doing, is we have to play the style of basketball. We have to see Josh Giddey. We have to see Shea. We have to see JRE. We have to see the basics of what this team is going to become get better. And I think that the way that we develop players in Oklahoma City is that's exactly where it's at. We are going to develop every single one of these guys. And that's why I believe and know that this team is going to have a 40 wins next year. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be exciting to see. And I'll be honest, Shea, Josh Giddey, Dort, and whoever else that is starting for this team is going to be fun watching them gel and finally mesh together, because they have all offseason to do so. This next year is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And we appreciate everybody taking the time to join us. We're going to be back on Monday to talk about everything that happened over the weekend. Thanks again, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.